One more time, brother. What's your name?
Troy.
Troy. How long y'all two?
Well, we've known each other since kids, a little kid. I'm like
almost 2 years.
Y'all been married?
Brand new.
Engaged. Engaged. Okay.
Brand new.
Me too. Okay. Shout out to you. I'm engaged as well.
I don't want
to
say how long because we've been revealing our age.
Engaged 2 years, together 6 years, and knew each other for a lifetime. Played in the sandbox together.
They say you
literally played in the sandbox.
They say that's you know the person you're gonna marry. By the time you're 25, you've already met the person.
Goddamn lie. Goddamn lie. It's a lie.
You see?
That might apply to y'all. I still don't apply to
anybody else. I didn't see us coming.
That's the issue.
I'm still like, yeah.
You're probably looking over her. She's probably right there. You're probably looking right past her. Meanwhile, she's been
probably
around
looking right
forever.
Past her.
You're probably looking right
so
past her.
So she's short. That's what you say?
It could be. You looking at tall chicks? See how fast that happened? She's probably right there.
Probably right there.
The woman, the person, they say you've met the person you can and probably should marry by the time you're 25. So you already know them. Even if you're not romantic with him, you've met him already.
Him to the entire world as my brother. I didn't had to spend the past 2 years circling back, like, so the guy that I,
this is not really my brother.
But are you engaged?
My soul brother.
You're engaged, congratulations.
He's your brother.
I wish the camera was on right now.
It
fellas,
is.
When
it
they
is.
Say bro, when
is.
They say, that's my brother, remember, right there.
Our exes right now, our exes is looking at us so crazy right now. Like, so.
All that time? So,
the motherfucker that we was smoking with, is your brother.
Came to the cookout, was holding the baby, all this
shit.
He's
like, nah, for real, see?
Yeah.
Your replacement is
close. One of my exes had a male best friend. I broke up with her ass. Fuck out of here.
Like, what you gonna do, man? Shit. Fight me.
No, that's bestie.
Bestie? All right. Yep. Peace to you and bestie. Later. I'm out of here.
So I from now on, when she say, that's my bro.
That's your replacement.
Or my cousin.
Just know that's your replacement.
But in our head, it really be bro.
Nah.
In our head.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, in a women's head, it really be bro.
Was it bro? Was it bro, bro?
That's how they keep you with them, but without the attachment.
Oh, all right. Yo. All right. Yo, bro. You keep it real. You tried it a couple times over the years?
No.
My man put his finger in his ear.
I'm like, you did? Wait, see, she be going over my head.
Whoa.
She be going over my head.
Meanwhile,
like,
your man was telling you, yo, this nigga's trying it. And you sat there and played, yo, he ain't trying nothing. It ain't like my brother.
So many arguments.
This is why I don't play that
arguments. I'm like, yo, that is the last person on earth you got to worry about.
Meanwhile.
My future wife is going to do a movie about our relationship, and it's going to be called The Last Homeboy. Shit.
Meanwhile,
everybody got their ringers off?
Let me make sure mine's.
Oh, y'all don't even know. We started already. Where's Chastity?
She said she stepped out. She wasn't coming back in for a while.
So we don't need the rules. Let's just kick it.
Yeah, I guess we don't.
Yeah.
All right, we back. Right. My expert opinion, the greatest show in the
world.
Like, I do that. You like that. Yo, it's Cinco de Mayo. I usually don't say, like, the days because, you know, giving the schedule on when these things are coming out. But I just want to say, you know, if you celebrate Cinco de Mayo, you know, for all what's
Latin,
the proper term?
Latin.
Almost got sued by somebody. You gotta be careful with those things nowadays. To all the Latinos, you know, everybody out there that's celebrating and all the people that's just getting drunk because they feel like that's what they're supposed to do, do that. And to those that actually celebrate the day and are, you know, paying tribute to their loved ones that passed away, shout out to you and, you know, enjoy the day.
I'm actually doing both. Today is Cinco de Mayo, and today is my father's birthday. He passed away.
Wow. So you're actually celebrating.
Yep.
Happy birthday to your father.
My condolences and happy birthday. You know, you never know. You could be in a room right now like, oh, I got a shout out on Math Show.
Oh, yeah.
Hit that like, hit that share. Let everybody know you in here. Don't cost you no paper unless you was a mother. Hater. Don't be a hater.
You got your own theme music.
We here.
Salute, King.
Meg was good.
Everything. Just got.
Cool. I'm with that.
I'm done.
I wanted to talk to you about something off air, but since the cameras is rolling and you know, these people really want to know what our real life is like. Don't be shouting out no more rappers in here, because I feel like you're getting a check for some of these shits. And you ain't giving me my PC, my nigga. We'll find out. You shouted out somebody I checked out, and I was like, man, why you shouting him out?
We discussed this early on, and you forgot.
What's that?
You can't pay me enough to shout you out, because I'll tell you you're broke and whack for free.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'll tell you, you suck for free.
I'd still like a little look at the Cash App before you walk in.
But you can't pay me to say something's dope.
Okay.
Or like ever. Even when I, in every professional capacity I've ever been in, if I thought it was dope, I said so. If I thought it was whack, I said so. Mm. You can't pay me enough to shut me up and say, not tell you it's trash. And you can't pay me enough to tell you that it's dope. If I think it's dope, I'm going to say something. If I think it's whack, I'm going to say something.
I'm the same way. Yeah. So
you got me started. Right?
Y'all can send me them Cash Apps too.
you to blame for that, to be honest.
We got Super Bro in the building.
We're going to skip past that part.
We're going to get to that later. My man Piff James is in the house.
Yes, sir.
Piff, what up, James. Man? What up? We've been running into each other for fucking years, bro. Bye.
Yeah,
we gotta do something. Facts. We gotta make something happen. Facts. Always. Champ.
What's going on, my brother? I wanna say real briefly, sometimes we make mistakes in life, and that's due to rash decision making, right? Yeah, I'm talking about something between me and Math Hoffa. So I made a rash decision a few days ago because I'm so used to being on the go and running around and just moving at the sound of my own horn.
Word. And I backed him down today. I was like,
he did not back anything down.
I was like, yo, what you doing?
So I wouldn't be here. Right? But I wanted to say on camera that I am a man. I make mistakes. And I am a person who's willing to apologize. Mm-hmm. For the mistakes I made, whether it's in front of people, behind, off camera, it doesn't matter. If I fucked up, I can account for that. So I wanted to apologize to you for that error, my brother.
And I love you, Chef.
Clap, damn it, clap. Put your hands together.
Yeah.
We don't see that enough. And if it happened more often, maybe.
That's what real men do.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's what real men do. You heard? Apologize. You know, when you make a mistake, apologize. No one cares about the excuses.
Facts.
Now, tonight in the building, in the current, you know, state of the game, we have state of the culture, pardon me. It's not a game. We have so many female MCs on the rise. Rappers and MCs, because there's a difference. Now, as far as paving the way for the female MC, This is one of the pioneers. One of the people that when you heard back in the days, he was like, yo, shorty got bars. She's going in. Yo, I think she smoked everybody on the track. Mm-hmm. Y'all know who I'm talking about. It's not many people that can fit in that category. Mm-hmm. Flip Motors, the squad, Rod Diggers in the pit.
Thank you for having me.
Dirty Harriet.
Word. What up, gentlemen?
I'm chilling.
You like a Sunday morning cooling on the other side of the pillow.
Yeah, man. It's been a long, been a minute coming. I'm glad we got it done.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got it done before it got too hot. I told you, I was like, look, we cannot put this off any longer, all right? The summer body is still in the mail. I'm gonna need my coat and my boots.
She got the collar up.
Hey, y'all. Take it a little longer to shed some of that quarantine. Wait, hey, life is good, man. What can I say? I'm getting these legacy coins.
Right, man. I mean, is that a pressure for female rappers? Like, oh, I gotta make sure. Because we got Lizzo out here.
It can be if you put yourself in that box.
Right.
You know, like I was fortunate enough to put the onus on my bars.
Right.
So everything else was secondary. And not for nothing. It wasn't really so much of a focus on image. Like, I got to, you know, without telling my age, but mm-hmm. I really studied the MC Lights.
No, I don't know who he is. Shouldn't be knocking on the door, though.
Oh, is he talking about, he's not talking about parking.
He's asking about your car, champ.
We'll see about that.
Yeah,
that,
okay.
It might be blocking him.
Yeah.
So unlock it.
Bang, bang. Yeah.
So I'm studying, you know, I'm studying Shantae, I'm studying Latifah, I'm studying MC Light. Like, there wasn't a big emphasis on fashion like that.
Right.
That's where my focus was, just the bars, like competing with the guys. Like, all of these women were challenging the men. So that was, to me, that's what hip hop signified. By the time I actually got on and popping, the whole game done shifted. Now you got Lil' Kim walking in with a titty out. No. And like, how the hell am I supposed to compete with that?
She got one titty out, y'all.
Got a titty out. Meanwhile, I'm over here 99 pounds soaking wet. I ain't got no booty. So I'm just like, all right, well, fuck it. I write my own rhymes. And what? You know, like that was the thing that I had to scream from the rafters to, you know, to get my stain and you know, it was dope. It was definitely a fun time in hip hop. If anybody, you know, got to experience like 90s hip hop at its pinnacle. Yeah,
that was a good time.
Yeah, that was a good time.
What would you say was some of your best memories of that time?
Some of my best.
Besides Lil' Kim with a titty out.
That was definitely
Yo, she scarred me for life. I love her. That is my sister, but she scarred me. No, I was scarred for life. I'm like, holy fuck. What can I do to match that? God damn it.
Not just one titty out, but Diana Ross actually bounced
it. Yeah, you got Diana like, Ross? Yeah, like, oh my goodness.
Diana Ross actually gave it a little, like,
shout out to Kimmy Blanco. That's my baby.
Yeah.
Some of my fondest memories. So, okay, my promo tour. This is the promo tour leading up to Dirty Harriet. I'm the opening act for the Cash Money Rough Riders tour.
Wow. Mm.
So that was
epic.
Those were good times. Those were good times. Shout out to Lil Wayne, yo. That dude was really, like, I remember him coming up to me like, yeah, you know, I know you opening. Now, mind you, he's Wayne. Like, he's a star. He's not coming out for like another 2-3 hours. And mm-hmm. and he came and was like, yo, you know, just good luck with your show. Woo, woo, woo. I'm like, yo, that's a good brother right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meeting genuine people, I feel like once I when you come into the game, the industry, it's not a game. You kind of think of everybody, look at everybody as the ops, until you meet them.
Right.
Like once you meet them and realize, like, yo, we actually have way more commonalities than than differences. I think that was kind of like a turning point for me, like as far as just my whole outlook on on the culture and the industry. Period. Now, of course, you know you got your phonies, your fakes, your frauds that come with
you. Oh yeah, let's do that.
We gonna get on the record. Yeah, we gotta do a joint. Yo, let's work, son. You'll never speak to that, see that person again. all of that. Yeah, I know you're scared to get on the record. I know.
Right.
But I think
who was the ops?
Who was the ops? Everybody was the ops.
Just everybody.
Men and women. I mean, okay, so when I say ops, I just meant like...
Competition.
Competition, yeah, exactly. Right. Everybody was competition. Everybody was fair game. Anybody could be used as a punchline at any moment. Like, you know, nobody was off the table.
Right.
And then you meet him, it's like, oh, I like him. I can't say that. All right. Yeah. Couple people, I was like, oh, I gotta change this line. I can't. Line. They cool as hell. Yeah. I'm gonna change that line, but... I just, you know, I just wanted to be known as the best MC. Like that was just something from really being young and just watching how all of the people before me did it. Everybody was battling. It was just battle. Shantae was battling. Like MC Light was battling Antoinette. Like that's all I knew.
Your crew was battling.
Yeah, I'm like, we were battling.
The outside.
Now, battling of yesteryears ain't the same as battling today. Battling of yesteryears was who got the most verses. We get in the cypher. You rap, I rap. You rap, I rap. You rap, I rap. You ain't got no more verses? Bye. I won. Like, that was battling.
Right.
That was battling back then. Yeah, now y'all got something else going on.
But different.
Shout out and rest in peace to Slang Tongue.
Yes.
Because he actually won the Blaze battle.
He won. He was actually one of the only outsider to win a Blaze battle. Mm-hmm. At one of the Blaze battles, Z and Pace had to battle each other and they both got disqualified because they wouldn't stop laughing and shit.
for those who don't know, Z, Pace One, Young Z, Pace One,
yes,
were members of your original crew.
Jersey-based crew, the Outsiders.
Outsiders. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Shouts out, rest in peace,
Eminem was also part of that.
Eminem was a member.
Eminem came from, Pace linked up with Bazaar in Detroit, and then once they started coming to Jersey, Eminem came out and when he was doing his Please Listen to My Demo Journey in New York, you know, he had the Outsiders there to hold him down. Because back then, white rappers wasn't cool, really. Like, if you wasn't MC Search and them, like, who are you? And
shout out to Search.
And he was a different kind. Like, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't really talking that nigga shit. He was on his quirky, really cool. You know, he always was on that, you know, trailer trash, that like that. So... Mm. It wasn't really clicking with the hood like that. But he always had bars. Like he was always that. Yeah. And so whenever he had to make his, you know, his real rounds, like we doing Wu-Tang Park Hill Day, you know, Eminem. Like the Outsiders is there with you. So
how did you start with that crew? Should we start from the beginning?
How did I start with the Outs? Okay, funny story. I had another rap partner at the time named Chia. We were Twice the Flavor. We were signed to Dos FX.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My story goes...
How old are you?
I'm a teenager. I'm about 19.
Mm-hmm. Signed to Dos FX.
Yep.
Twice the Flavor.
Twice the Flavor. Rashia and Kachia signed to... and at the time, my rap name was Rodiggity.
Rod Diggity.
Well, that'll do.
Of course. That's
I was Rod Diggity. That's what it is. I was Rod Diggity.
You had to be there.
had to be there, right?
They went platinum. Shut your mouth before you even laugh.
Stop playing. We used to put the braids in the ponytail and, you know, emulate them. But but we didn't rap like that. Right. So we were partners, and one day we on the bus. We on the Jersey Transit bus. We heading downtown, me and my partner. Young Z is on the bus. He got a Walkman on. He nodding his head like crazy. He going crazy. Mm-hmm. And me and my partner, we lit. We just looking at him, cracking up like, yo, this nigga kind of look like Pete Rock, don't he? So we just looking at him, going crazy, nodding his head. He take off his headphones like, what's so funny? We like, man, we just tripping. And then, you know, then we, hey, what's up, what's up? Yeah. Somehow we ended up disclosing to him that we had weed. He would not stop following us at that point. We trying to shake him. Oh, he wow. Like, we out, so let's park. Yeah. So finally we shake him. We running around downtown Newark doing our thing. We go to Lady Foot Locker, all this other, we doing our thing.
Right.
We get back on the bus. He back on the bus. Now he got his boy, D.U. Shouts out to you. Mm-hmm. He got his boy. We like, oh, damn, you again. And then we was like, you know what, fuck it. It must be meant to be. Let's kick it and shit. We like, all right, we got the smoke. Y'all gonna stop at the liquor store? Mm-hmm. Let's go. So we went back to her house. And we like, yeah, we rap. They didn't believe us. We like, y'all raps, yeah. Right. And so then we push play on the demo. Mm-hmm. And now I'm lifted. I don't even think I was rapping my own words. Like, I'm one of the type of people, like, I smoke, I just get real mellow and quiet. And she's the opposite of me. She's super animated. Mm-hmm. She actually was Nicki Minaj before Nicki Minaj, like with the, like, she wow. definitely, yeah, like, that. She had that voice, that you know, that character, right. animated that rap.
Switch
like,
it up and all
yeah, that
yeah.
was her bag. And I was deep voice, you know. Mm-hmm. So she was doing all the rapping. And everybody like, yo, you know, she got it. They don't even know that my rhyme, you know, she's mouthing my rhymes, too.
Right. Mm.
So when they finally realized, like, I was the one kind of rapping like the dude, because I yeah. always had that, you know, that deep rugged tone. Harsh. They like, yeah. oh, that's you? Oh, wow. Okay. And from that point, I just started kind of like gravitating to the guys, because I always like, you know, I always like the competitiveness of rhyming with dudes. Right. Whereas she's the type of person that like to be around mad females. Like, she got mm-hmm. like 101 bitches. I don't fuck with bitches like that. Yeah. You know, I mean, shouts out to the handful I do got, but I'm just not one of them that, like, a lot of girls would be like, okay, you fuck her baby daddy. Like, I just, yeah. yo, you got all that going on over there in your circle. Right. My circle over here, we smoking and we getting to the bars.
Right.
So from there, I start doing things. I start doing more and more things with them. My partner and I, and then I actually started dating. In the process of that, I started dating Young Z.
Right, the guy from the bus.
From the top, the guy from the bus.
Tried to duck.
Rock.
Yep.
Started off making fun of, right. tried to duck.
Yep.
Big Rock. Look.
Yep.
Right. Meanwhile.
Okay.
And from there, we just, like, you know, as the outsiders grew, like, we literally every day would get up, we would link up, and just walk around Essex County. Like, who's going to battle? Who's going to battle? You rat? Let's go. Like, this was our everyday occurrence. Like, all right, it's five of us. You got a dollar. That's a nickel bag of weed. We need another dollar for the dust. I mean, you know, we in the mud.
That's how it was.
And wow. And that's actually how we even ended up on the Fugees album, The Score. Well, actually, take that back. By that point, by the time we got to The Score, we had a crew deal. We had an outsider deal with Rough House. Mm.
All right. Before you go,
history. I know. Am I skipping?
How was I getting deep. All these record deals?
So,
That was number. That's number four. She just.
Yeah, but that's this is the first one.
Yeah, no,
this
no,
is the first
no,
one.
No, well, okay. So being signed to Dos Effects, translation. Y'all gonna pay for our studio time and you know.
All right, cool,
yeah,
cool.
That wasn't like a that wasn't a deal. Okay, but that was okay. We're going to
fund
produce,
your shit.
Yeah, right.
And put your shit.
It's even funny how we got with Dos Effects. So. I'm gonna go backwards some more.
Mm-hmm.
We would call around studios to see who's working in the studio. See, now they don't disclose that information, but back then they'll tell you.
Right.
Like, yeah, we would call like, yeah, we're looking for Eric Sermon. Eric Sermon's not in tonight. Tonight it's only just Dos Effects is gonna be here.
Oh, that's weird.
So we would find out who's in the stew, and we would just call, and somehow I got Crazy Drazy beeper number. Now this is why we going back.
Wow.
I got Crazy Drazy beeper number. We just beeping him. He calling back like, who are you? Like, yo, can we send you a demo? We sent the first demo with three songs. Didn't get a call back. Sent the second song with three demos. Ain't get a call back. I mean, second demo with three songs. Yeah. Sent the third demo. That demo was lit. That one was dope. We had a song called Hard to Kill. We had no title, no hook. And back then, not having a hook was unheard of. So we did a song where we just straight bars, no hook. They like, yo, all right. And then they eventually called the car for us and met us. And you know, we performed our demo for them. Was like, all right, this. So that's how we ended up with Dos Effects.
Who was the lead in y'all? Like, was there parents? Was there like who
was y'all?
We're 19, 20 at this time, and this is the time when parents is like, okay, that rap is cool, but I'm gonna need you to finish college. I'm gonna need you to you know, put on your suit. You go door to door filling out applications. Like, this is what parents thought you was doing. I'm like, yeah, Mom, I'm gonna look for a job. In real life, I'm going to
battle everybody in the hood.
Or battle. Yeah, like that was my going door to door.
Yeah, I ain't mad at that.
And so that's how I ended up with Dos Effects. My partner and I ultimately split up because we just grew apart. Now I got a boyfriend. It's like the boyfriend is not getting along with the best friend, you know, with the girl best friend.
Yeah, because y'all was just ranking on them on the bus.
Yeah,
like,
now it's like, I don't want to hang with y'all. I want to hang with them. And, you know, that happened. We ultimately grew apart, but I mean, it's all love. Like, that's my sister. Like, we to this day.
Oh, good.
We speak every day. To this day, we speak. No, I'm one thing about me, you know, if you in my life, you know, you got me for life. Like, I'm a very loyal friend. Mm-hmm. Like, even after you've pissed off the rest of the world, if you solid with me, I'm gonna hold you down. Mm-hmm. You know, until you cross me, you got a friend in me. Mm-hmm. So we're good. It was an amicable split. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, maybe young in our feelings, like, hey,
did
little
you say,
girl
did
stuff.
You say, I want my rhymes back?
Oh no. She definitely she wrote her own rhymes. I wrote my own rhymes. Oh, okay. We had those separate styles though. No, she was really good with that, like that personality and that tone switch. Like,
did she keep going?
She did not. Mm-hmm. She did not. She let me hear a couple of songs. She did since we separated, but mm-hmm. she didn't stay on the
she
track.
She didn't push.
Right. She didn't push.
Was it one of those situations where she was motivated by you?
You know, we talked about it like years later. She was scared. She told me that she wasn't she knew that she wasn't going for it the way I was going for it. Like, I was going for it. Like, I was...
Yeah, he's calling them studios like, yeah, they're
calling them studios.
Like, I was... You know, I mean, and we were battling each other. We did a show. I'm trying to think, we did a showcase. We beat out Smooth the Hustler and Trigger the Gambler.
Holy
at,
shit!
I've got as you sure. know as a yeah. Hey,
that's crazy.
Hey, yeah, hey, Smooth.
Wow. Smooth Trigger, wow. They broke your language. Wow.
They gonna be like, what the fuck she talking about? I don't remember that. You remember? No, but that was a, you know, that was a showcase, first place, second place. But we got first place in that. I mean, we were, you know, we were a force to be reckoned with. And we get down with the Hit Squad right as they're breaking up. So check it. So you got Keith Murray. You got K Solo, you got Redman over here with Eric, and we on Parrish and Dos Effects. We like and Red was the homie from Jersey, you right. know. Red was the big homie. It was like, how we get on this side?
Oh man,
word.
Did y'all ever do any records with Dos Effects when you was working with them?
Early, and we used their producers, Solid Scheme. Yes. Mm-hmm. Look at you!
A Blitz and
Yes, A Blitz was my manager. He was actually Dos Effects road manager. Mm-hmm. So when I separated from my partner, he at the same time was parting ways with Dos Effects. So he became my longtime solo manager. Mm-hmm. And you know, Blitz and I, we just, you know, beat these streets together. I mean, back then you had to be in Brooklyn really to do anything, mm-hmm. have anything going on hip hop. So I was hopping the subway every day to Fulton and St. James where he lived. Or mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, unbeknownst to me, this is Biggie's block, but mm-hmm. I mean, I heard, you know, Biggie lived in that house right there, but I'm on my way to meet up with my manager, and then we would go to see Ski from Rock-a-Block. Shouts out Ski. Yo, Ski produced, as a solo artist, he produced my whole demo. My first single, Tight, that is now produced by the Beat Miners, as the demo version of it was produced by Ski.
Wow. Wow.
He produced that joint for Pace.
Yeah. Well,
I Declare War.
Pace was signed to Ski.
Rock-a-Block.
Yes.
Okay.
Pace was signed to Ski. There was a point in time where everybody had solo deals and we had a crew deal. Because we had our crew deal with Rough House. Z was signed to Perspective, and then Pace signed to Rock-a-Block, and then Eminem and I both got our deals at the same time. I signed to Elektra with Q-Tip at the same time. Mm-hmm. He signed to
Interscope.
To Interscope. Interscope. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we was lit. And we was, you know, we were milking each other label. Like, yo, I'm gonna send this invoice, right? You charge 30 grand for a hook. And then, you know, and we just, you know, it's like us, we just crew, but right, you right. know, we was
you made it happen though.
We was raping each other's labels and shit. That's no other way. Yo, it's no other way to put it. We were raping each other's labels. I'm sorry, I'm not a hard word. I know that's a trigger word, but
right.
yeah, we were killing each other's labels and yeah, we did that shit.
Wow.
So as long as we could.
So after Dos Effects breaks up, is that when you moved over to Hit Squad, or you went and started? You
know, no, Hit Squad broke up.
No,
Hit Squad.
No, no.
Hit Squad broke up.
Yeah, Hit Squad broke up.
But you already was done with Dos Effects.
I was signed. We were just getting to Dos Effects.
Okay, right.
Like we like official on paper.
Right, right.
When that broke up happened.
So when did the introduction to the Fugees happen?
So that happened because Z after the crew was no longer a part of Rough House, he ended up getting a solo situation there as well. And he was the opening act for the Fugees. Mm. And when they were promoting the Score album, going on a tour run, he was their opening act. Mm-hmm. Like, he's actually the person initially that was doing the one time for Killing Me Softly. Lauren, the very first singing appearance she ever made was on his album. Wow. Came out. So, wow. You know, there's a lot of history with the Outsiders and the Fugees. And, wow. And we just, you know, peoples like that. They might be the only crew in Jersey that we didn't technically battle. Right. It's like, oh, I can't battle a guitar player. Fuck it. We're going to do a song together.
No, Clef went to smoke.
But no. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, yeah. They are. I mean, you know, we're like-minded. We're like-minded artists. Like, everybody from Jersey is with the smoke.
Mm-hmm. Name a
Jersey MC you met that wasn't with the smoke. We don't be giving a shit. You know, I'm gonna tell you where that comes. You know where that comes from, though.
What?
That comes from
the complex you have being next to New York.
Yes. 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 That is that.
I lived in Newark for a bunch of years.
Yes.
And I bet you...
I used to be knocking people off because they found out I'm from New York and it was all... Now a girl...
How would they find out? Would you be like, I'm from the real New York?
No. it was where you going? I'm going home. Jersey was never home. So when they said I'm going home for the weekend, I mean, I'm going to New York. And then it got out and it got around that I was from New York. And that all of a sudden became a problem. Now girls will walk up to you and say, you look like you think you cute. It's that same thing. Like you look like you think you tough because I was from New York. It was a problem. And it was always like this little complex that people from
New York. How many rappers you come across that like, yo, man, because you know New York rappers, they be fronting on a show, they be stuck.
That happens now.
Yes, yes.
I'll be out talking about that.
Exactly. Yeah, we get that now, like right now. That still happens.
Like it's been going on for decades. Like,
but why? What is it about Jersey that they just don't feel recognized? I don't get it.
Because you recognize Jersey for what it is. You, we're not of the era that fronted on New Jersey. It was the era before us.
So hip hop is notably originated in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when, like, I bet you if you talk to any rapper that's not from New York, they'll tell you they always felt like New York fronted on them. Like, there was an air with New York rappers that if you was not from New York, you was whack. Mm-hmm. It was almost like you didn't even have to be fresh. All you had to do was be from New York. Mm-hmm. Like, you could say I'm from New York and like, you won the battle. Like, I'm from New York.
That's messed up. I always thought it was a street thing. I thought it was because New York niggas was in everybody's town. You know,
it bled over. It wasn't just one thing. But hip hop wise.
Well, hip hop wise, I think that I would say maybe it was like the big bro, little bro complex.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So Jersey rappers felt like we didn't have our own radio station. It's like we had to come to New York to get everything popping.
Right.
So there was I would say maybe like an inferiority complex. Like, oh, y'all think y'all better because you're from New York. So there was, so in our heads, it's like, I gotta be extra nice, extra nicer than this New York.
Could be recognized.
Yeah, but it was a us thing.
Right.
I don't know if it was.
I blame the radio. I blame the radio.
I don't think it. Yeah, like I don't think it was so much. Who? I don't.
Not one specific DJ, but think about it like this: it's hip hop radio stations, right? Back then, hip hop radio stations, and they shout out every borough, and they never shout out Jersey. Or they shout out Jersey last. And you're in Jersey.
Hot 97 always shouted out Jersey.
Hot 97 is fairly new. I'm talking about BLS.
107.5?
I'm talking about WBLS.
It was always like, about New York. It was all New York. Queensbridge versus the Bronx. It was Brooklyn. It was we're Brooklyn. It was just all it was always that.
There's no Jersey shout.
So when you say I'm from Jersey, like it's like, okay, picture it like this. Picture this. You're in Jersey. We're Newark at woo woo. Irvington. Woo, woo.
Jersey City.
Irvington. or East Orange. Woo, woo, woo. Somerset. You know, it's kind of like, you know, but it's niggas in Somerset that's live. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they like, so that's kind of what New Jersey felt like.
That was like Long Island.
Yeah.
Baby Long Island.
Right.
Shit, even Staten Island. Until Wu-Tang came about, they wasn't really recognized.
Staten.
Nah, he's right. He's right.
Yeah. Staten was like its own fucking borough outside of New York.
Anybody only knew the four SMDs.
Some of us don't remember hip hop.
Whoa, I didn't even know the four SMDs.
That four SMDs was rappers before they were singers.
Yeah, the four SMDs.
I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know what Staten Island was till Wu-Tang came out.
Remember Daytona 500 or 5,000?
500.
The dudes who were singing on the beginning?
Yeah.
It's four SMDs.
Oh, shit, I thought that was a Delphonics.
No, I'm pretty sure that's the four SMDs. I could be wrong. Don't.
No.
But I'm pretty sure that.
We are the G-O-Ds.
Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure that was the four SMDs.
I think it's a pride thing, too, in New York. Us being a creative shit, and us being like, we want to protect what we created. We don't want everybody to get
it's just certain areas. It's like,
see, New Yorkers are on that shit.
How many rappers we know now came from Long Island, but before it was, I'm from Brooklyn.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of rappers from Long Island that claim
they had a grandmother in Harlem, so they started claiming Harlem. But they're really from Hempstead. You know what I'm saying?
We thought for a long time Public Enemy was from Brooklyn after they shot that video with Spike Lee, Fight the Power.
Right.
They shot it in the style.
Right.
A lot of people thought they was from Brooklyn. I remember that.
Long Island.
That's what everybody do with Newark. everybody from the bricks.
Yeah.
I know you not. You from Plainfield.
That's kind of tough. You're from a place called Plainfield.
Plainfield.
Ain't nothing special about you niggas. You're Plainfield.
But Jersey kicked in the door, though. Like, when you think about Queen Latifah, Naughty by Nature,
I feel like Redman and Queen Latifah would beg to differ with some of these claims.
No, Naughty by Nature and Queen Latifah.
Redman, you don't feel like Redman would be
after
like
them. Yeah. After them, after
right.
them,
right?
I think if you're talking about who put Jersey on the map as far as just that was concerned, Latifah and Naughty by Nature,
yeah,
Tretch was nicer than everybody.
Wait, but before Naughty by Nature, Apache, rest in peace, Apache.
Rest in peace, Apache.
Flavor Unit.
Right.
But that's again, we associate that with Latifah.
Right.
When it came to making commercial hits that everybody had to stop and listen to, that was Naughty. Naughty was the ones coming out with joints that everybody and then they started nicknaming parts of Jersey. Mm-hmm. Now it was
Ill Town,
Naughtyville. Yep. Now they start naming areas and say,
"Well, North always been Brick City because that was just the city of projects.
Right?
It was just projects from one end to the next.
I found that out the hard way.
Oh yeah,
I went to Shabazz.
Somebody threw a brick over your head.
Oh wow!
Somebody smacked you with a brick, Mecca.
Oh, who's Shabazz?
Shabazz school.
Yeah, so it's first time I ever got jumped. First time I
my
ever
mother
got
went
jumped
to Shabazz.
Was in Jersey.
What grade was that?
You don't remember, you got jumped.
Is that bad?
That's a lot crazy. Of crews know, got was, jumped. No,
it was pretty bad.
Shabazz was like high school?
Yeah.
A lot of people got jumped in
junior high school.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't alone.
Niggas get jumped every day.
Yeah. I'm about to say, trust me.
That was the first time I ever got jumped out of nowhere by niggas I did not know for no reason whatsoever happened in Jersey. I was at the arcade downtown off Broad Street.
Yes.
You had the headphones on, didn't you?
Of course. sitting there playing.
And that was like the...
You didn't see him coming.
That was like the car.
Oh, no, they introduced themselves. They introduced themselves before it happened. Dude tapped me in, turned me around, said, why you jump my cousin? Smacked his head off. I know nothing. And I don't know these dudes. Anytime I ever threw hands, it was with somebody I knew or somebody I was affiliated or something. Something happened. He turned me, why you jump my cousin? Smacked his hand off. I don't even know your fucking cousin. He did like this. I jumped back, put my hands up like, nigga, try it. Right from the corner. His man was right here. Bing, bing. Bow.
Damn.
Right in the jaw. Saw a star. Turned around, swung. He was nowhere in sight. The first dude, bang, he hit me. Now I got two of them. I put my back to the machine, and I'm like trying to figure out who I'm going to hit first. A dude right from across comes right. Saw coming, couldn't even move. Bang, my head hit the machine. I was like seeing stars. They start like throwing little punches, and then they ran. And I went chased after them like an idiot.
He said, take your ass back to New York. Take your ass back to New York. Take it in Jersey. Jersey, nigga.
Nigga had a Queens footbag on. Nigga had a Queens footbag on in the wrong hood. A Queens gym sport. He said, yo, what's up? Queens.
New York ain't so tough now.
I wanted to. I wanted to go home. I these pussy ass took three of you bitch ass. I was heated.
That was the first time?
I went back to that arcade every day for like 2 weeks with a couple of steak knives. I was hoping.
Well, you talking about the arcade. Room. We talking like late 80s, early 90s, late
80s. Yeah,
early 90s.
Yeah,
that was happening everywhere, man.
Facts.
That was my first game.
Every time I got jumped, it was seven or better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shit.
That's right.
Just going to another school from another borough, you getting jumped. I went to school in Harlem, getting kicked out of school in Brooklyn, and I got jumped. Just from being from Brooklyn.
Yeah, Jersey. Oh, that, no, it got crazy when they tore the projects down and everybody had to like
move out.
Around. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's when it got real crazy. Because now you neighbors with the ops for real. And it's so crazy, like geographically, like this street is in a death, you know, in a death-defying war with this street.
And now they just...
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it would get crazy.
Carjacking and jumping.
I was about to say, that was around the carjacking. Huh?
But the whole North is one big family, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like somewhere down the line, everyone's related.
Yep.
Newark reminds me of Harlem. It really is like some neighborhood shit. Like you don't go there to hang out unless you already know somebody. So you go because everybody there know. And when you an unfamiliar face, that's how. But I had to find that out. Like I said, the hard way. Mm. That shit was awful. But that's Newark. Like
and be careful.
Newark is different now. I'll be out there, and y'all know me. Mad Bobbers platform, and it's all love, man.
I still got love. Birth some of the best MCs. Like, the culture's always been crazily represented out there.
Musicians, period. Yeah. Going back to Sarah Vaughan and Ice-T from Newark.
Yeah.
So yeah, we claiming Newark. You Ice. Ice-T from Newark.
Yeah, Whitney Houston.
Colors.
I know Whitney Houston. Yeah, I know she's from there.
Bricks.
Before he went out there, he was, yo.
It's a lot of
Newarkers.
Oh,
you mean he was born out there? He was in like...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. I was about to say.
That's like Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, but Tupac. Went to the South.
But there's a statue of him in Chicago.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Mm.
I still love it.
All right, so...
Yeah, we just dive
right in. Let's follow the deals. All right.
Okay.
Dos Effects.
Okay, so from the start, and guess what? Before Dos Effects, I was running around with Flavor Unit. Before Dos Effects.
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna tell from the very beginning, Flavor Unit. I was like a youngin' in Flavor Unit though. This was me just running chasing Latifah around. But the Ruler Lord Ramsey was my manager at the time. It was, and that's how I got with my partner. My partner was also working with him. He's the one that put us together.
Okay.
So that's how we became Twice the Flavor from
Twice
Flavor
the
Unit.
Flavor.
Huh. Oh.
So from Flavor Unit to Dos Effects.
Production deal, basically.
What was my rap name? My first rap name was like Baby Jam or something. Once I got to Das Effects, Rah Rah Diggity. Yes, now I'm still with Twice the Flavor with Das Effects. Right. Now we leave Das Effects. She and I separate. Blitz separates from Das Effects. Right. Now we're together, my manager and I, and we start beating the street. I become a part of the Lyricist Lounge circuit. And that's where I really got my boot camp training in, because it's like now I'm going up every night against Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Common, Pharoah Monch, Lord have mercy, shout out Lord, Shabam Sadiq, Nat Bahamadia.
Shout out to Shabam,
shout out Foxy. Foxy was a little 14-year-old snot nose running around in there, barring. And so this is who I'm sparring with now on stage every day. Right. So
is this as a member of the Outsiders?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
What year was this around?
This is before I get my deal. So we're talking 93. Okay. Between 93 and 95 is when I'm on my solo Please Listen to My Demo track.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was 96 that I got pregnant, and then I really started going hard. Like I was doing Maria Davis.
Shout out to Maria Davis.
Yeah, shouts out. I was doing that shit every Wednesday. Stomach just growing. I did that shit every Wednesday. My entire pregnancy.
So you were eight months.
I got to 8 months of pregnancy. I got to 8 months of pregnancy. So I originally meet Q-Tip in a studio session. It was a Young Z studio session. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I'm big pregnant. So Q-Tip and I are sitting in the non-smoking section. Mm-hmm. And I think I just turned to him and was like, yo, I got 30 days to get a record deal before I had this baby. And he was like, oh, word? You got bars? I'll sign you. You got a demo? I'm like, hell yeah. That was like a weekend. So that Monday, had the demo FedExed, overnighted, or whatever it was at that time. That demo was at his desk Monday morning. And that weekend, I was headlining a Lyricist Lounge showcase that was going to be hosted by Common.
At 8 months?
I was the headliner at 8 months.
Y'all think y'all out there grinding?
They got no excuses.
Y'all really think y'all out there grinding?
No excuses.
Yeah. Sure you are.
Jeez.
Sure you are.
And, oh God, and mind you, I'm headlining, so I don't go on till 3 a.m. My head and sweated out. I'm just pregnant. I'm miserable. And Danny, Ben, thank you so much. Just please bear with us. Please bear with us. Cause I had I was coming once I hit him with the tight, tight always shut
everything down.
Shut shit down. So they was like, You gotta go last. I had the ill ski beat shit. Like he was like, you gotta go last. And I did that shit. My maternity hip hop outfit was a Carhartt jumpsuit. That was my I'm getting fresh for the stage, but I'm pregnant.
That sounds adorable. I can't even.
Yes, I had the Dickie and the Carhartt jumpsuit.
How supportive was your child's father/hubby? In these times, like he's seeing.
Yeah. Oh, he was right. I mean, he was right there. I mean, there was a point where, you know, I couldn't come outside at once I got to the point where I was due any day, I had to kind of fall back. But no, shit, he I need her to get as much money as she could get too. You know, he wasn't, you know, he was supportive in that way. We was crew. It's I win, you win. You win, I win. Whatever. Whatever we could do to help each other's situation, we got to do that. And she coming.
Your demo was on Q-Tip's table overnight. Mm-hmm. Were you able to get the deal before you dropped your child?
So demo on his desk that Monday. He comes to the Lyricist Lounge show that I headlined that weekend. He's blown away. Like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. 8 months pregnant in a Dickie jumpsuit with those bars. Tight. Now, you know how tight go. Like, them bars were in 93. That was some special shit to be saying.
Right.
Tighter than three or more heads in a CRX. Like, I was going crazy. And he took me to Elektra probably the following week. Mm-hmm. I had a whole, now I had already did the song with the Fugees. I did the Fugees song and we shot that video when I was about 4 months pregnant.
Cowboys, right?
Yeah, Cowboys. You can't really tell that I'm pregnant in the video because I was so skinny that me being pregnant just meant like, now I just got a body. It's like, it don't look like, you know what I'm saying? Because I was so skinny before that and shit, and after that, like, as soon as I had the baby, it just gone. But you couldn't really tell I was pregnant in that video, but I was very pregnant in that video. Right. I was about 4 or 5 months stage. So I go in the office with Tip, and I had this whole little spiel ready to lay out. You know, this is who I am, and this is what I represent. This is what I plan to bring to the table. You know, you had to have your little artist, you know, speech ready to go. Sylvia comes in the meeting. She might have been like an hour late. She came in there. She like, you was on that Fuji song, right? Yeah. I thought, okay. Yeah, go ahead and go on and draw the papers up, Tip. All right, see y'all later. I gotta go. And left. So I was stunned.
Sylvia Rhone.
Shout out Sylvia Rhone. Yeah. I was in shock. Like, I remember walking out the office like, deal? Like, I had to turn the tip, like, does that mean I have a deal? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a record deal? Oh, I got a record deal. And see, in those days, getting a record deal only meant one thing. I'm about to get some money. I'm about to get that side of my, like, fuck the terms and conditions of the deal. You just know you got a big-ass signing bonus on the way. Mm-hmm. And, I got that signing bonus the week I gave birth.
Wow.
Like, he was able to expedite the situation.
Shout out to Tip, man.
Shout out
to Tip for that.
That's fire.
It's such a vibrant thing.
That was the first time I ever had anything more than 3 digits in my, four digits. Like, that was my first time I ever had that much money. Like, yo, I did good. My managers did good by me. Mm-hmm. They got me the business manager that made it impossible for me to, like, fuck up my life. Like, he got me the secure credit card to build up my credit. He got me like the mutual fund stuff, but I did blow. Now I did do a little bit of blowing. I took about half of it out in cash, and I went home and I put it under my pillow and I turned the lights out. And I just laid on it. Yeah. And look, and the outsiders were on their way to my house. Look, I heard the doorbell ring. Hey, Mrs. Fisher. It was like them saying hello to my parents. I'm like, oh no, they coming. I was in the dark. My money under the pillow. Like, oh God, they're here.
Good times.
That happened. Q-Tip saved my life a second time. I don't even know if he noticed. So, this one I knew I had blew through my advance. I went to the beauty supply store to get myself a beveling iron and my card declined. I'm like, oh shit, I'm broke. Oh shit.
Panicking and shit.
I ain't even start the album yet, I'm broke. Yo!
You're spinning.
So.
Wow.
So I went home that day. I'm like, I'm sitting at home. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta. I was scared to call Tip and ask for more money because it was only like a matter of weeks. It was only a couple weeks.
Damn. I was like,
maybe a month. Maybe a month. Oh. Maybe a month.
Said,
but
maybe.
Maybe.
No. Yo, can I tell you? Can I?
You just had a baby in her defense.
I did just have a baby. Right. I went crazy with the baby. Polo,
yeah, you had
baby
a Ferrari.
Baby. Like I
Ferrari kinda crib.
Yo, in the hood.
All the stuff from Different Strokes.
She had all of that.
Little train going through the crib.
You know what my big splurge on myself was? I went to the Timberland outlet in Reading and bought constructs in every color. That was my go out.
Welcome to New Jersey. Welcome to New Jersey.
Yo, I had the tan, I had the cream, I had the olive, I had the knit. Yo, I had some perforated olive shits that I still ain't seen to this day. That was the first big
purchase. All the out of town niggas gonna have fun with that. They gonna have fun. Tim's, I knew it.
Yeah, but they blame that on New York.
She's from Jersey, though.
Yeah, exactly.
She's from Jersey.
Quiet.
I must have spent about $4,000 to $5,000 on Timberlands. Wow. in Reading, Pennsylvania. I had every color.
In Reading, how you at the outlet?
I was at the,
and you still spent like $5,000.
Because I got every color. Every color. It was like gray, black, the brown, the leather, the beef and the broccoli.
It was like $100 though. That's 50 joints.
Yo, I was close.
Was it just for you or was it for other people too?
I had at least about 30 pay attempts. All constructs. Just that's all a, constructs.
Oh, Jesus.
That's crazy. That was my go out at, oh shit, I got money now. That was my first big purchase. I bought constructs in every color. Yo, to this day, I still ain't seen them olive green joints with the, they had like some perforated holes in them and shit. Those shits was hard, I'm sorry. You know, no, a couple of them Tims was more than 100. Them perfs, I might have paid like two something for them, but yeah.
Not at all.
I regret nothing.
So now, I got to
sell this footage to Timberland.
Sponsorship.
So now, I got to call Tip and tell him I need more money. I was so scared because it was like, it was damn near like a month. I'm like, yo, I'm about to look crazy. I just blew through like 50 beans. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yo, on my father. Before I could pick up the phone, before I could dial his number, he rang my line and was like, yeah. So I was just having a talk with the accountant and we were trying to come up with like a monthly living expense budget for you. How much you think you spend a month? Like how much you think you need for a month? Like 1,500, 2G, 2,500? I'm on the phone
like 50.
I'm like, yes. Yeah, all I could come out of my mouth was yes. He's like, all right, well, tomorrow's Friday. They're going to be closed early, but if you can get there by 1:30, we'll cut you we'll cut you this month's expense, and then from here on out, every first of the month, you can go up to the accountant and get you.
Wow.
Yo, I hung up that phone. I was like, thank you.
That's
like,
crazy.
I had the phone in my hand.
They probably stopped your car. They was like, oh, she's wilding. So
getting ready to call this.
Shut it down.
No, that was me not having no money. That was like the car declining. That was like, I was done. Because see, I wasn't checking the account, like how much money I got. You know, when you go from broke to that, it seemed like, oh, I can do this all day.
What about the pillow? What happened to the pillow?
Damn. Deep sigh.
Let me see. How many Tims I got? No, really? My daughter. It was, I definitely spent a lot of unnecessary.
First baby, first child.
Baby polo, baby Dior, just all that.
Baby Jordan.
At the 0 to 3 month stage, three
that
to six.
She outgrew in no time.
Yeah, facts.
What?
Facts. None meant of nothing. It is worth anything. Meant nothing.
What?
I used to say, yo, my son ain't going to wear nothing but Jordans. And then lose my mind walking him to school, watching him kick every rock, splashing every point. I'm like, yo, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Those are exclusive. He didn't know that.
As a new parent, you do that, though. As a new parent, that's what you do.
You get him some Batman kicks. And
he's happy. He's like, well, I don't even know this guy. Like, Batman. He loved that shit. So I learned that lesson quick.
So now you at Elektra.
Now I'm at Elektra.
And you start prepping to work on your album?
So this is 96 that I signed at Elektra. Now, Q-Tip has always been one of my favorite producers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tribe Called Quest has always been my favorite group.
Mm.
I was such a fan of Tip and Tribe that I was trying to, you know, I'm like, okay, I want beats from you. That, like, now I'm signed to you. I want beats from you. We wasn't really gelling creatively. I could not figure out for the life of me why. I'm like, how is this, you know, why am I not liking this music that we're making together? Mm-hmm. It's like, you're my favorite producer. I know I can rhyme. What's happening here? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until later in life that I learned that, you know what, things that work for other artists don't necessarily work for you. Right. I just could not figure that out.
Nah, that's real.
I'm like, mm-hmm. I love Tribe Called Quest. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Why can't I, why am I not?
This is dope, I'm dope.
Why am I not hitting
working?
The pockets? Right, it's just like we weren't.
You just needed something harder.
We getting to that. We going to get to that. But, and another thing that was going on too that I wasn't aware of until later, Tribe was in the process of splitting up. They was on the outs. Mm. So, you know, Tip
wasn't all the way there for you.
Mentally he wasn't all the way there. Right. And he also had a big house fire. I remember him having a huge house fire, losing everything.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know, you're sitting there, if you're a Q-Tip and you just lost, you know, your entire everything, and you got your, yo, so my beats, nigga, what's happening? But you don't even have your sample, you know, your whole, where you make the magic just went up in flames.
Q-Tip had a house fire.
Yep.
Yes.
He was with Angie Martinez at that time.
And RZA had a flood.
He had a flood, yep.
Yeah.
And these are some of the greatest producers.
There was
producers.
Somebody that couldn't get beats from these guys that was like, all right, I'm going to show you. Yo, I'm telling you. So there's got to be a connection.
Somebody cursed
right that way. But continue.
He had a house fire. And at that point, like, he just really wasn't focused on the mission. And I know I was driving him crazy because I was hungry. Like, I'm still the same person that's walking around bad. Like, I'm still in that frame of mind. So I'm blowing, yo, what's up my album? What's up my album? And I'm sure at some point he had a conversation with Busta because Busta was putting together Flip Mode Squad.
Right.
And I know he had a conversation with Bus, like, yo, I got this female. She's so dope. She is driving me up a fucking wall. Like, it's, you know, I think she would be a great fit for you. I think she matches your energy.
Right.
And so now I'm rocking with Busta. And what was dope about that, here comes the third Tip save. Instead of me getting dropped and getting re-signed, they were able to just kind of like...
Combine.
Yeah. Right. They were able to just kind of slide me into the hands of Busta without me losing my deal
feeling that devastation.
Having to unsign and re-sign. Mm-hmm. And all the all the terms and conditions of my deal was still in play, so I was still able to get that. So, okay, go through whatever legal stuff y'all gotta go through. I'm still showing up to the accounting office at the firm.
Right.
And I bet you my car won't decline again. And so now I'm getting on Busta Durr. So now I'm showing up to...
Wait, time out. What was that initial meeting like with you and Busta? Like, how did y'all even meet?
So
like,
the very first time I met Busta, a Young Z session.
Oh, wow.
He's on a... And I actually... I've heard Busta tell the story of going around studios to seeing who was working and just, you know, and now you on a joint with him.
Right.
He showed up in a Young Z session that Z was having with KRS-One. Mm. KRS-One did a hook for Z. And Busta is on that intro. So that was my first time meeting Busta. But it wasn't a significant enough meeting. Like at that, like I was somebody's woman in that session. I wasn't right. All, hey, but you know.
Yeah.
My next time interacting with Busta, my manager Blitz was in the studio with him. And he played Busta one of my Ski songs, one of my demos from Ski. I was asleep and I was pregnant when Busta called me and was like, yo, you got bars, shorty. I didn't think it was Busta Rhymes. Like, my phone rings and it's Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. I'm asleep, nigga. And my manager called me all, Blitz called me back all scared, like, yo, you just hung up on Busta Rhymes. I'm like, my bad. I mean, I ain't know.
You just told me he was going to call.
Yeah, you got to give me a heads up. Like, I'm thinking you playing.
Frank calling.
Yeah, right. We do that. We was doing that. Just me and my partner. I'm like, the way we was pranking people. I mean, but we weren't pranking. We were actively searching. For a record deal. Let the record reflect. We were not pranking. We were, as they say, going door to door, filling out applications. But so that was like our first time at really communicating. And so now fast forward to me showing up to his studio sessions. Cause
what was he recording the first studio session you went to with him? Do you remember?
Maybe Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I know it was so okay, crazy. So when I first started showing up, it was Rampage album was still out. Well, like Wild for the Night was ringing off. And he was in the process of working on When Disaster Strikes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And my first like time getting on a record with them was the Crew song, We Could Take It Outside.
Right.
Which is on that album.
Right.
So mind you, now I'm showing up to the studio every day. Yo, nigga, my mom coming out. You know, I'm just bully footing my way into the situation. Now I was told that there was a pecking order. Like, okay, new girl, this is how it goes. Lord have mercy, rabbit. You know, there were people that were there before me. You.
Well, right.
You know, respectfully, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm nicer than all of niggas, respectfully. I mean, this was my.
That's how you felt.
That was my machine. That was my shit. That was my shit. And it, you know, it was always love. It wasn't like, you know, I never wanted to do anything to, you know, embarrass my brothers or nothing like that. But I just always let it be known, like, I'm about to smoke you on this record. Like, that was my attitude. I learned studio etiquette with Flip Mode. I didn't have studio etiquette coming from the outside.
what was the studio etiquette
That's a real thing.
Studio etiquette is, being respectful. If somebody might take a little longer than you to write their verse, be respectful.
Right,
damn, you're still writing.
Oh my God.
You should say.
Understanding that every artist has their creative process. Yeah. At the end of the day, it was about being a team. See, I really learned team sport with Flip Mode. It's we all have to do our best to compliment each other It's at the end of the day, it's about the song. It's not about who got the nicest verse, Mrs. Outsiders. It's not about
I get it.
But that's what type of time I was on. Right. I came from a place where, the song could be 14 minutes long. We all trying to get our shit off. Nobody's caring about song structure. Did the record even have a hook? Was the hook catchy? Was it commercially viable? Right. We ain't care about none of that shit. We just all wanted to have the nicest verse. Now coming into Flip Mode, it's we might all have to just do 8 bars so the song could be a radio friendly timeline. Yeah, 8 bars?
What is that?
I used to be going nuts, but it was that experience that made me more of a,
I'm curious.
A team player.
Before you get there, let's take a 5-minute break.
It's hot for trap trapper turn smack rapper. Only smack rapper that you know is smack rappers. Got bars I can hang with the backpackers. Trap star, I don't hang with the backpackers. I'm in the hood with the work, you heard. Making fiends leave earth, you heard. Got your baby mama thirst, you heard. Feel the flow, nigga, throw it in reverse. This the wave you need to surf, you heard.